Good afternoon, and welcome to Good News Updates with Living Compassion. Good afternoon, Marianne.
Good afternoon, Jen.
Thanks so much for being with us. So Marianne is one of a number of folks in the Sangha who have taken on a challenge in support of the project in Cantalomba. So thank you for being with us to talk about your very fun challenge. Maybe you could start with telling us kind of what motivated you to want to do that and how your particular challenge came about.
Well, I almost have to get you to tell the story about the scene in Cantalomba where a little girl is telling people, I can do something, and they won't listen, and they say, no, you're too little, or you don't know anything. And she keeps saying, but I can do something. I can do something. And that stuck with me.
You know what's so beautiful about that, Marianne, just briefly for folks who may not have heard that, what that was from is a little book that I would say Life wrote that we printed and gave out to the kids in Cantalomba at the beginning of the pandemic when, I mean, they had no, you know, they weren't going to school like everyone else because of the pandemic, but they didn't have any ability to do any distance learning. And so what you're talking about was a little tiny book that was published to go out to all the kids. And that was the bottom line of that story, was to realize, oh, we can all pitch in and help and do our part here in the middle of this really hard situation. So that's so fun that was the beginning of your motivation.
Yeah, and it was interesting. I knew that there is something about the story. I tried to find it on the website, and I just know there's a little girl who says, well, I can do something. And I just thought, yeah, so it was about, you know, what this little girl could do. She could teach her little brother numbers and letters. It's sort of like, what is in front of you?
Yes, exactly. That's what she could do. And she didn't think that was small. She thought that, I mean, that's what she could do. I can teach, right? I can teach. I can teach my little brother ABCs. Exactly. Yeah.
You know, that just, you know, it just is, I guess, the wisdom of children. Anyways, so what came to me is that I live near the beach. I pick up garbage every, you know, when I'm there. But I decided I wanted to do something that would people would feel maybe doubly interested in donating. Mm-hmm. So maybe they don't have a connection to the kids in Cantalomba, but maybe they would like to make the earth a cleaner place or make the ocean cleaner. So I thought, I could go around and pick up all the plastic on the beach. So that's what I did. And so I posted it on Facebook. Like, this was a big challenge because that was, I'm not a Facebook person. And I knew I had to do it before ego talked me out of it.
Exactly. Quick. Before the voices get us.
And so I started picking up plastic, and then I posted a picture and a couple of sentences about what I've seen on the beach. And because there's more than plastic, you know, there's all the beauty of the beach. There's all the people I meet. It's just every day is a revelation. It's like, wow, this is like life unfolds right down there at that beach.
And how beautiful that is, Marianne, that you're using that experience, that at least the way you describe it, you get so much from that. And absolutely, you know, I mean, gosh, if I knew someone who was spending their time going down to that beautiful beach, that beautiful place in nature, you know, the earth, and wanting to put energy and time and care and love into picking up the trash, oh, goodness, what a beautiful thing to pair with wanting support to support this project that I know, because I've heard you talk about it, that you've really been invested in and loved for years.
Yeah, and you know, it was amazing. I was so surprised that people started following me right away and making donations.
Yeah, I'm not surprised.
So it's people that I wouldn't have kind of gone and asked before.
Yeah, of course, yes, of course. Because everything about it is good, right? I mean, your willingness, what you're willing to do, you're willing to put it up on Facebook, you're going up against like, oh, I don't really know how to do that, or even, you know, sort of what you just intimated of like, well, I don't want to ask them, but you put it up there, and I project people are moved by that on every level, that you're supporting this project that you love, that you're taking care of this place that you love, you know, this beautiful beach, that you're willing to do this, that you're putting the time and energy into it. It's just, it's good all the way around. And in my experience, people respond to that.
They do. I have had many comments. Thank you for doing this. Good for you for doing this.
Exactly.
And the one, it is on another level. When I go to do the picking up the garbage, the one thing I have been trying to really practice is not have any judgments about it. I'm just in the process of life guiding me to this fish line or some really sharp plastic objects, and or my bête noire is cigarillo tips. I don't know, judgment, because this is, that would be ego cleaning the beach.
You know, what drops in as you say that, Marianne, is everything is the Buddha. Right? Truly. And you're simply taking these things that don't need to be here. They're not serving a purpose on the beach, right? And you're putting them somewhere else.
Well, not
you're
only
that. You're taking care.
They harm life.
Yeah.
Really, you wouldn't want this kind of junk in your stomach. You know, things that are sharp and pokey. You know, plastic. It's just everything is there. In fact, the whole world is on the beach.
Yes. And it's so perfect, because what I hear you saying in that is that you're very aware of what you want the process to be. You don't want to be having ego in charge of it. You want to be coming from a process of what we could say care, attention, love.
Yeah. And what I find is that it just feels like life guides me to where to look for something. Which I know it sounds a little bit strange, but
not at all.
It's that's what it feels like. Like it just here, just look behind this log, and there's a huge, you know, bunch of styrofoam that's collected there, or something like that. Just which makes me smile, you know.
Yes.
Because I just feel like life is. Life is guiding me there.
Is your partner. Exactly. You know, I really, as you say that, Marianne, I really picture Hafiz's poetry, right? And there he is with the friend picking up trash. And the friend is so excited that Marianne wants to do this. Oh, look over here behind this log, right? And pointing in all these places. Yeah.
And, you know, my joy for it does bubble over, I guess, because I have talked to people on the beach, and actually I even got a donation from somebody on the beach. Here's 20 bucks. You know, so I just feel like it has been the most rewarding experience.
Well, thank you so much for being with us this evening to talk about it. One of the things that's so fun is that your challenge, along with a number of others, have just been posted up on the web this afternoon. And there's an email that's going to be coming out right after the radio show that will be to the whole Sangha, inviting all of us to sponsor any of the challenges that we choose, yours and, as I say, a number of others. That will be, there'll be a link in the email that's going out for folks to do that. Along with, I will tell you, Marianne, I think you'll love it, something else that's going to be in that email is a link to a conversation that Sherry and I had that we recorded around kind of a history of the project and that sort of thing, which might be fun for people to send out if they're choosing to, you know, do a fundraiser like you're doing. It could be really useful to, you know, update people or, sorry, educate people about the project. So
yeah. Well, that's great. It's, you know, it's a wonderful way to serve.
It really is. Oh, gosh.
Jen, are you there? Marianne, are you there?
I am here.
Jen,
sorry,
you
thank
there?
You, Marianne. Yeah, no, I wasn't for a second.
Okay.
My headset did something funny, but I think I'm back.
Good.
But at any rate, what I was saying, Marianne, is that there's just so much happening in the project right now and so much great news that we're going to work on also getting folks all of that information, because it really underscores, I think, what you're saying is that there's so much love in that project and that folks really have, that's, I think, what motivates us to do these fundraisers. So it's, yeah, it's really, really fun and special.
I hope you can let them know that they motivate us.
Oh, I do. I absolutely do. And thank you for saying that, Marianne, because here's what Teresa says to me every time I talk to her. Please tell everyone on that side how grateful we are and that we are sending our love and hugs to everyone.
Mm-mm.
Yeah.
Sweet. Yeah.
So, Marianne, before we end, because I see we're already at our time, which always happens so quickly, can you tell us in specific what is your invitation? What are you asking folks to pledge? Are you doing
a
certain amount of? Yeah.
They can pledge, $1, $2, $5 a day, because I'm packing a bag of garbage a day for 49 days.
Okay.
Or
great.
They
great.
Choose. Another amount.
Great. Okay, that's perfect. And I think that's actually, as you say that, I think that will be, that's listed on your challenge. So when folks get that email, I think they'll see that there are all those different ways to support people in whatever their various challenges are. So again, Marianne, deep gratitude to you for being with us this evening to talk about your challenge.
Thanks for the opportunity.
All
Gosho.
Right. Take good care. Gosho.
Bye-bye.
And Michael, we'll turn it over to you and Sherry.
Wonderful. Thank you, Jen, and thank you, Marianne. Good afternoon, and welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Good afternoon, Sherry.
Good afternoon, Michael. Well, I apologize for my tardiness. I was clearly having a little bit of trouble getting here, but I'm here now. I hope people kept on talking while I was making my way.
We were meditating.
Oh, very good. Oh, isn't it wonderful that we have that skill? All right.
Yes, yes, yes. Great to have you on the air here.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
Good, good. And Jen and Marianne had a wonderful, fascinating, inspiring conversation about the
I know, I was so
project.
Looking forward to hearing that. I'll have to get the recording and hear it, because I've been looking forward to that since I found out it was going to happen. So
yes, yes,
there we are.
Yes, yes, it's wonderful. And I have announcements here, unless you'd like to steer us in another direction.
Now I'm ready.
Okay. A new retreat, 9 days of holiness, will use the Enneagram to explore the facets of true nature and will offer a daily radio show and assignments. And this retreat will be Sunday, December 13th. And while many people party, we embrace stillness. Join Sangha from around the world December 31st. For virtual guided sitting and walking meditation, as we did this year's farewell and welcome me 20 miles. And then the next day on January 1st, workshop on letting go of the old, welcome new, will support us in dropping old conditioned patterns and delighting instead in what's here now. Reflective Listening Buddies is one of our most popular programs for a reason. There is no other support quite like it for practicing presence, with participants required to show up for themselves and another every week for 30 minutes. And a new quarter starts January 15th. And is conditioning talking you out of a commitment that you really want to keep? If so, and if you would like some support, sign up for the Keeping Commitments Buddy program, which begins January 15th. Participants will be paired with a buddy for accountability and support during this kind and compassionate training. And for these and other practice opportunities, visit livingcompassion.org. And if you'd like to talk with Sherry today, you can press *6 and then 1 to make a show and get in the queue. And conversation.
And Michael?
Yes.
Oh, sorry. Well, I was just going to say, I want to still keep an eye on me because you're really going in and out for me, kind of. So if I start doing that for you, let me know, okay?
Okay, great.
All right.
And a conversation on one topic, please, and about 5 minutes is great. And Sherry, we're going to start today with an email question from someone in Sangha who wrote into us.
Oh, okay.
And you stop me at any point, Sherry. So I know sometimes you like to address each point as it comes through. So you just stop me as needed.
Okay.
Hello, all. I hope everyone is well. I'm using a common example of, quote, losing weight, unquote, from Sherry's books to illustrate two ideas I cannot reconcile. The first is, one process does not lead to another. For example, losing weight does not lead to being happy. Losing weight leads to losing weight. Being happy leads to being happy. And the second idea is, the practice of making changes, creating the life we want, and acting upon life's wisdom dropping in. For example, I want to lose weight. I'm confused about why we make changes at all if not for it to lead to happiness. And I'm unclear about how we know these desires are life dropping in if ego is the one who creates dissatisfaction and resists what is. For me, pursuing a desire...
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I'm going to lose track here. You're right.
Okay.
So we'll just start in and see if we can cover it.
Okay.
So, So, you know, this is awareness practice, as you well know. And so what we're practicing is being aware. And one of the things that happens to us in an awareness practice is we start seeing the plethora of things that we have been conditioned to believe they're just simply not true. All right. Hmm. So we actually don't know that we're going to be happier weighing less until we weigh less.
Hmm.
Right? We don't know what our experience is going to be. Right? So,
yes.
So if it occurs to us that we want to weigh less, then what we're really going to do is to pay attention such that we see how we are where we are. So, for instance, if I say, well, you know, I'd like to lose 10 pounds. Well, I start paying attention to that, and I get to watch how I am with food, how I am with calories, how I am with exercise, how I get to see how the voices talk me into eating this and not eating this or eating this at this time and everything that goes on around that. And as I get clearer about all of that, maybe I say, you know, I've realized from all of my paying attention and looking into this and that I am eating a lot of sugar, and sugar has a lot of calories, and so I think that I'm going to stop eating sugar and just see what happens with that. Because notice it's all a see what happens with that. That's going to be a constant theme, okay? See what happens with that.
Yes.
And so I go about deciding that I'm not going to eat sugar, and then I begin to hear these voices in my head making campaigns for me to eat sugar. Well, how about a donut? You know, well, you've been so good. Why don't you have a piece of cake? You know, like that. And I realized, wow, you know, I always thought that I just didn't have any willpower or that it was really my fault that I made the choices that I made. But I began to realize that I'm kind of the recipient of a concerted campaign by these voices to get me to do things that I've decided I don't. Now, we could put in stop drinking alcohol or stop smoking or anything like that occurs to us. You know, even a person goes to the doctor and the doctor says, you know, if you don't stop smoking cigarettes, you're going to be dead in 6 months. And the person still can't stop smoking cigarettes because every time they try, that same campaign starts of, why'd you do it? Now we're starting to see, all right, this might not have anything to do with any particular content. There's this force that's operating in me that's actually in control of my behavior. It's not me, because I'm the one who doesn't want to eat sugar. I'm the one who wants to stop smoking cigarettes. But I can't do it because this campaign in my head is stronger than I am. It keeps talking me into doing what I don't want to do and talking me out of doing what I do want to do. What is going on here? Now we've kind of reached the crux of the whole thing. Okay. Mm. Now, notice that nowhere in this has happiness come up, right? And that's a good thing, because most people realize quickly on when they take on this level of paying attention to what's happening, that campaign in their head is devoted to them feeling bad, feeling guilty, feeling weak. You know, just generally bad about yourself, frightened, intimidated. It's just awful what that ego process is doing. So is the person happier for taking this on? No. In fact, that's why most people quit any kind of program to take better care of themselves, say, because it's too painful, right? But say this person is going to stick with it, right? And they realize, okay, what I really need to go up against here is not sugar, it's those voices. So what are those voices? Now they're really practicing awareness. Maybe they say, come to us, and practice that is utterly focused on supporting people in exactly that. And so they're encouraged to do recording and listening, and they begin to change the focus of their attention. They start listening to information going on in their head that's about what's true, what's real, what's actually the case. You're a good person. You're doing this and this and this, and you love this, and what you admire about that person and that situation, what you like about nature, and all of the things that you love and that you enjoy. And I'm starting to get a picture now of I'm going to be that person now, okay, of my life as it actually is, not as it is according to that negative droning that has been making me miserable. So I'm starting to, you know, I'm starting to feel better. I'm starting to really, you know, notice that there are birds and trees and nature is beautiful, and I have these great people in my life, and there's things that I love and things that I enjoy, and I'm feeling better. I'm getting happier. Now, it doesn't have anything to do, actually, at this point, with whether or not I've quit smoking cigarettes or I've lost weight or I quit eating sugar or anything else. I'm just being happier because what's actually going on is that I am present to what is actually so, rather than giving my life force, my attention and life force, over to a negative, illusory, made-up, brainwashing program inside my head. Okay. Now, fast forward, and this is where I'm living. If not all the time, then certainly most of the time, I'm a happy human being. I'm grateful. I love my life. Are there problems? Sure. You know, there are things that I'm looking at and working on. I actually don't call them problems anymore, though. I just call them life unfolding, right? And so, you know, maybe today I go out and the car doesn't start. Well, that's an opportunity to see how I do and how I can bring loving kindness and compassion and all of those things that I choose into this situation. I might meet a wonderful person who comes out in the big truck and helps me get my car started. I don't know, but I'm going to be here for it. So then one day it drops in, and you know, I'm carrying, so I was talking to somebody recently who over the last several months has lost 20 pounds and was talking about, you know, pick up a weight that weighs 20 pounds. It's not insignificant. Picture carrying that around all day long as you do whatever it is that you do. You know, it makes a big difference in how you feel. And so I realized, you know, I've got those pounds that I'm carrying around. You know, everybody says it's not as healthy to have that extra weight. And so I just want to see what it'd be like not to have that weight. So I'm gonna go on a program. And so I'm going to look around and see what's a nice, healthy program to go on. Maybe, you know, I'm going to be a vegetarian. I've always wanted to be a vegetarian. Say it's easier to lose weight if you're a vegetarian. So, you know, I'm going to try that, and I'm going to see. And now what I'm going to do is apply all that I learned about my relationship with that negativity in the head to this. So I'm going to be with this person who is now going to change the way she eats. And I'm going to learn about this whole process. I'm going to be a vegetarian. I'm going to begin to count calories. You know, I'm going to eat more vegetables. I'm going to, you know, and I'm going to enjoy this process. And probably in the course of that, I'm going to lose weight. Okay? That's just likely to happen, right?
Yes.
It's not... Right, it's just it's a natural. What would you say? A kind of a side effect of the way I am living. Maybe I decide. You know, the other thing that everybody says is that more exercise would be good for me. Okay, well, I think I would enjoy looking into doing some exercise, and I'm going to approach it from that same happy place. I'm not going to do these things so that I will be happy. I'm going to be happy, and then I'm going to do these things.
Yes. Yeah, so you're going to focus on the process of happy first.
That's right.
And then
that's
whatever.
Right. Whatever. Then I can do anything. Start my own business. Whatever it is that I want to do. Collect stamps. Who knows? Mm-hmm. Grow butterflies. Anything I want, I can do it from a place of being a happy human being. And the other thing the person mentioned was things dropping in, and that's how I'm going to decide whether it's going to be butterflies or stamps, because I have certain natural affinities, right? We all do. We are authentically unique. And so as I get out from under the burden of all that mental blech, then those natural tendencies will come forth, and it'll occur to me that, yeah, this is what I'd like to do. I enjoy that, so I'd like to do that.
Yes, yes.
And life becomes easy, Michael, doesn't it?
Yes, it does.
It becomes easy and enjoyable.
Yes, yes, it does. Now, Sherry,
there's more?
There is more to the message.
All right, yeah, let's do it then.
Okay. For me, pursuing a desire for weight loss is seemingly the definition of indulging ego's fantasy of a different reality. The content is tricky, as intentional weight loss does not feel loving to me personally, although I desire it. This causes much conflict. Is it true that the best any of us can do is to connect back to wisdom, love, compassion, and trust the guidance of our inner mentor? I'm recording and listening, but afraid my mentor is being hijacked by ego. Thanks so much. From someone in Saga.
Yeah, who lives far away, I'm guessing, and can't call in on Tuesday evenings.
Yes.
I hope, so that everybody doesn't think, oh, well, you know, that would save me having to call in. I'll just write, no, it's only for people who, for whatever reason, aren't able to be in person.
Yes.
So, yes. So this is something that we hear. We've all gone through with recording and listening. You know, how do I know whether it's the mentor or whether it's ego? Well, we don't initially. That's the whole beauty of awareness practice. But if we stay with it as we go along, it will become clearer and clearer. In the beginning, it seems really tricky to know what is ego and what is authenticity. But after we pay attention for a while, it's not tricky at all. You know, ego is nasty. It's manipulative. It's sneaky. It's unpleasant. And the mentor never is. It's unconditionally loving and kind and compassionate. And it doesn't talk in a phony, new age voice of, well, you know, you've had a really hard day, so why don't you just open that bottle of wine and get those bonbons and turn on the TV and really take care of yourself. Okay, the mentor isn't going to say that, right? And it's after we practice for a while, that becomes clear. What takes care of, that's why, Michael, we always use the examples of if you have a small child that you love.
Okay. Yes.
We want to treat ourselves the way we would treat that child. We wouldn't say to that child, oh, you've had such a hard day. Here's a pound of chocolates. Why don't you just sit down and eat those? You'll feel better. No. Mm. You know, you're going to feel better when you eat healthy, nutritious food. Do cookies taste better than broccoli in the beginning? Not after a while. If you put those two in front of me at this point, I'm going to pick the broccoli. It actually tastes better to me, right? Now,
yes.
The thing that a lot of people run into is, well, but it feels like deprivation. Going on a diet, which I would never encourage, but not eating certain things, that feels like deprivation. Well, that's just ego whining, right? Because, again, anybody who cares about you is not going to say, yeah, do all kinds of things that don't take care of you, because if you do things that take care of you, you're going to be deprived. Come on. Again, in the beginning, it sounds like that, and it feels like that. You know, these what sounds like ego can masquerade as little tiny kitten. I want a milkshake. Why can't I have a milkshake for breakfast? Well, because it's not good for you. That's why. And because I love you and I want to take care of you and I want you to have a long and happy and healthy life, I'm going to help you make good decisions. That's what the mentor does, right?
Yeah.
And so, you know, again, the example that I use often is if you're physically fit, then not being physically fit feels awful. Right, you're physically fit and you break your leg, right? And it's going to take you a while before you can get back into doing the things you love to do that help you to be physically fit. It feels awful. It's not a vacation. You know, you get to lie around with your foot elevated and watch movies on Netflix. You know, people who talk about binge watching Netflix, you know, it makes me sad because that is not that's not an ideal, right? In our culture, it's presented that way. You know, how are you going to survive the pandemic? Well, thank God you can binge watch Netflix. No, you would never say that to somebody that you love. Right? And so when you're not physically fit, getting physically fit feels horrible. It's like torture. I've got to lift what? Or I've got to do, no. That feels awful. So getting to either place doesn't feel good, right? Mm. Losing fitness doesn't feel good when you're fit. Getting fit doesn't feel good when you're not fit. I remember being a smoker of cigarettes and thinking I was going to die if I had to quit smoking. Now, of course, the thought of smoking a cigarette is so repellent that it's just unimaginable, right? And so we have to train. We have to practice. We have to be patient. And the way to do that is kindness, right? So if you're going to take on a goal, you know, you're going to finish a marathon. I'm not going to say run a marathon. You're just going to finish a marathon, right? and the way to get to that point, to accomplish that, is by having the kindest, most gentle, compassionate, supportive coach in the world, right? Who is going to be really loving to you as you are encouraged. Yes, you can. Come on, put the shoes on. Get up. Get out there. We're going to do this. Okay.
Yes. Yes.
Just like Lovely. Kids, right? You've got kids. I mean, you know, when they're little, it's you know, of course, well, probably when they, till they get through college. But of course, nobody likes doing homework. Well, some people do, but you're probably not one of them, right? So would you rather be doing something else than this? Absolutely. But this is the job right now. This is what needs to happen. And so let's do it. And let's feel good about doing it. Let's celebrate the accomplishment. Let's celebrate the willingness.
Yes. 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 Absolutely. Lovely. Thank you, Sherry, for responding to that.
You are so welcome. Thanks to that person who asked that. And let me go off on one of my favorite topics like that.
Great. Wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So let's talk to our first caller now, then, Sherry.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. First caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry. Hi, Michael. This is Sri Devi.
Hey, Sri Devi.
Well, hello, Sri Devi.
Hello.
What's going on?
It's been a long time since I've called in, and I just wanted to call and check in and express how much gratitude I have been having over this last couple of weeks in my heart. So much gratitude for Sangha, the practice, for you, for all of the monks. And as you were speaking about that last letter, about that place where you're just in the process of being happy, that's where I feel like I am in this moment, and I'm really enjoying it.
It's the best, isn't it?
It really
is. The best.
Mm-hmm. It really is. And what's wonderful is, I was looking at yesterday, and it was a Monday, which always tends to be a little bit of a difficult day, and everything was exactly as it was, but I was just with myself, and I was keeping my commitments and excited to keep them, especially with this 5-mile challenge. And, you know, I'm putting letters or notes in the jar every day that I keep a commitment, and I actually have a 365-day commitment, so I'm like, so excited in a year to have 365 notes to myself. And
that's a book,
really,
Sri
really
Devi.
Exciting.
That's going to be a book. 365 days of notes to myself.
Oh, yeah. And what I love about it that I didn't even realize until after I started it is on the days that, you know, maybe the voice is getting to me, maybe there's the I don't want to, I don't feel like it, I get to jump in that jar and pick up every note and read it. I didn't even think about that. I was thinking about putting in the notes, but I didn't think about at any point I can read it and just see what the message to myself that day was when I kept that commitment that day.
Yes, yes, exactly. And so you are that kind coach that I was just talking about, right? That's your opportunity, right? There's this human being named Sri Devi, and, you know, she's a human being, right? All kinds of stuff has happened to her and happens to her, and she struggles with stuff, and she's got negative voices in her head, and, you know, she's a regular human being, right? And then there's you, And you are the, how would we describe? Well, let's face it, you're the mentor, right? Mm-hmm. You are the one who knows that it's possible to end suffering and knows how to do it, right? And so when she hits that place of, I don't want to, I don't feel like it, what's going to drop in for you is, well, let's go to the jar. let's read some things in the jar and remember what it's like to keep commitments and be in the present and right? And so it's that holding hands place where the human being is never alone but has that kind support, the unwavering support, unconditional love. That's where the happiness comes from.
Yeah, and again, one of those unexpected things that I didn't even realize is once I made the commitment, there's a human who's so excited to keep it because she gets to write herself a note before she goes to bed. And she's like, oh, I get to write, you know, like just that motivation of what used to take, what conditioning convinced me took care of me and seeing how I went to bed every night. And now seeing the person who goes to bed after having written that note, it is, it's such a beautiful, beautiful experience. And I just have to also add, I'm so grateful for recording and listening because, you know, it's been a year where I felt like I've probably been the farthest away from practice that I can recall. And having reconnected with it, and I picked up a recorder and I've been doing, as part of my challenge, I'm doing steps every day. And I was listening to that recorder and it was from a retreat, the New Year's retreat from 3 years ago I was on. Here was this girl talking about, I'm out on this walk and it's a little chilly, but I like it. And I'm just really excited. And here's what I know to be true. I am never giving up this practice, no matter what. And literally right before I heard that recording, I had made the exact same recording as I was walking, like, and it's a chilly day and I'm walking and I just know I'm not going to give this up. And it was almost word for word. And it was just like,
oh,
what?
My gosh.
And I felt like so humbled by life, by this community and by the human being who, even in the worst of moments, when that voice has really talked her to the point that she's going to walk away, who just doesn't quit and keeps recommitting. And it was just, it's been that kind of a week.
Yeah. And you can just be awed by the courage and the goodness of that human being. Right? And that's the human being you get to go through life with and get to take care of and get to support and get to be with.
And also so much gratitude for Sangha, for you, for all of the monks and all of these retreats and, God, probably at this point 7-8 years of recordings, because to hear that reflected in guidances, to hear that reflected in retreats, to hear that reflected in email classes, you have this evidence, this written experience, this verbal experience, and it's really probably the best thing ever.
Yes, I agree with you. Because the thing we all know is we could never do this alone. Now, I like to point out that even the Buddha didn't do it alone, right? He came from a long tradition and had a huge network, right? And said, nobody could do this alone, right? Here's a group of people, and you need to go through life together and support one another and encourage one another, because it's just too hard without all of that support. And so that's what we are to one another. And Sri Devi, I'll tell you that I spent today working on my 5-mile challenge, right? My fundraiser, and with the help of my editor and neighbor, putting together a little letter that I'm going to send out to people. And they're the pictures of all the kids and the women in Cantalomba and, you know, these people that you know so very well. And looking at that project from exactly the perspective that we're talking about, how it takes all of us, the contribution that everybody makes to everybody else's success and well-being, and that there's not a single person that we could do without.
Yes. Yeah. Oh,
it's just glorious.
It's a wonderful, wonderful life. Yes.
It's a wonderful life.
Oh, it's a wonderful
life. What a perfect time. What a perfect time for that statement, right? what a Christmassy kind of thing to notice. Yeah. Well, it's wonderful to hear your voice. I was, when you first came on, I was thinking, God, I can remember years ago when you would say, this is Sri Devi in San Francisco.
Oh, yeah. This is, and now I'm Sri Devi.
That's how long it's been going on. That's right.
Yeah, it's been a while. Oh, thank you so much, Sherry. Yeah. So good to talk
thank
with you.
Thank you, Devi. All right.
Thanks, Michael.
Thank you. Good night.
You're welcome.
Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Sri Devi. And, Sherry, I was wondering, in the interest of time, if we might skip our ad this week. We have a lot of callers here.
I bet so.
Does that work for you? Okay.
I bet so, yeah, absolutely.
Okay, great. All right, let's move to our next caller. Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry. Hi, Michael. This is Kate in Australia.
Hey, Kate.
Well, hello, Kate. What are you
seeing? Hello. So I was looking at this, and I thought it could just, and it happened to be the radio show time, and I thought I'm going to call in, and it's not fully formed, but I was doing some recording.
That's the best kind, Kate. Those are the best kind.
Great. So I was looking at how what seems really misguided, but how attached to this idea of a linear developmental model that we have, that things start small and grow and accumulate over time and get better, deeper. We accumulate wisdom, experiences, and that it kind of, is like linear and develops in this sort of hierarchy. And what was coming up for me was how I was reflecting on the end of the year and thinking about the next year, and it, how not linear life and experience happens, and how the circular and circuitous, like in all these different directions, and also how I guess I'm trying to put to words, like the experience I was having was the reason I'm seeing it this way is because I'm paying attention for years and years of doing these similar ways of attending to, okay, you know, like what's true in this moment, what is happening, and that these are not new. I was thinking about how the context I'm in at the end of this year is completely different, as I'm sure for lots of people, than I've ever been in any end of year situation. And and at the same time, that I'm struggling to put words to it, the way I am showing up for life and experiencing this and experiencing the things around me are familiar. The ego stories are familiar. The gratitude is familiar. I just visually saw, like, there's no linear direction to all of this. I'm not getting somewhere. It's just these like circular crisscrossing lines.
Yeah. And Kate, I think that I don't know. See if this is true for you, but you actually are getting somewhere. You're getting here, right? And it's. I think it's a. You're putting your finger on one of those famous Zen paradoxes, right? Where what actually happens to us is that we are unlearning. So we're taught that what we need to do is learn. And everybody who comes to awareness practice is ready to learn something, right? And God help some people who actually believe they do, right? Because what we're practicing in awareness is letting go of the idea of knowing anything. Because that's the linear part, right? So with everything, you know, I start out with mathematics, I get the numbers down, and then I start building on that, right? And I know more and 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 more. But with life, what we're doing is going in the opposite direction. Because even with something as concrete as mathematics, we get to a point of realizing that the whole thing is actually made up. Right? And now, it's not that, so I was doing something just the other day. I mean, I practically live with a tape measure, right? Because I'm constantly, measuring this or measuring that. So, numbers do come in handy. There's no question about it. But also to realize that the whole thing is made up, right? And are you with me on that?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah. Okay, good. So at the same time that we are unlearning, we are experiencing knowing. So you now know things that there is no application for. They don't live anywhere. You can't do a thing with them. You couldn't tell anybody about them. You couldn't tell anybody else where they are or how to get there. And yet, you know them. You just do. Is that correct?
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So it's a magical, mystical sort of a thing, right? And in that process, we do go along one step in front of the other, right? Or after the other or whatever that expression is, right? So we do. We go along. We're in a situation, we see what we see about it, we can see how, I've been here before, I don't see it. I don't get it, I see it. What do you see?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I can't exactly tell you what I see, but I see it.
Mm.
Yeah, which to me is that experience that you're describing of all of these things are really familiar. Like we can watch, we have karma, right? So we can watch ourselves be in a karmic situation. We can even watch ourselves say the same thing, say something that we know we have seen through. We can see ourselves doing it and realize what's happening at the same time. And so in that, you can see that there was a time where you'd be in that situation, you'd be feeling that, thinking that, saying that, whatever is going on, and that would be your entire universe. It was true. It was right. This is all there is. Now you can be in that situation, and you're, in essence, seeing that person, thinking that, feeling that, saying that, whatever it is, and you're in an expanded awareness place that is containing that experience. Yeah?
Yeah, and the thing that's sitting with me is that I was seeing glimpsing, I guess, in the reflecting on this, was that there's so much kind of, there's such a different orientation, and I think quite a lot of freedom, when I, let's say, see through something or really kind of have a practice breakthrough or something that I've struggled with, and I think the first times that happens or the first time that I recognize, oh, I didn't react in that way, there's this grasping onto that is great, like, this is me now in that developmental model that is only going to get, quote, better, or that's going to get deeper, versus having that moment and be like, oh, yeah, I'm going to be here again. Like, this is going to come.
That's right.
Like, knowing
that
we're just going to come back to this again, this moment, and it's going to look completely different. It's going to be in a different country. It's a different person. You're going to be a different person, but you're going to be right back here. And that's exactly right.
And that's the knowing.
When I say that out loud, but it's so freeing in some way.
Yes. Well, yes. And try to tell somebody that that's the good news.
Yeah.
But it is. But you're going to be the same Kate. Yeah. Yeah, I am. Isn't that great? No, that's wrong. Right? Because there's so much wrong with you. There's so much wrong with them, with life. Things need to be changed. They need to be fixed. You need to figure it out. You need to... No, not really.
And like that, well, why are you working then? Like, why are you working? What a verb to use. But like, why are you doing all of this to just kind of get back into the same place? And it's, I don't know how to... Well, I don't know the answer in words.
Well, I'll give you some words.
I'm all ears.
You are doing it because it is your practice. That's why. Because it's your practice.
And it is, I mean, I guess the other part, though, too, to it is like, whether I'm paying attention to it or not, of course it's going to be that way. Like, I might have an illusion that it's like linear or developmental or whatever, but if you're paying attention, like it's not. So you can be deluded into that idea, or you can just be present and paying attention and see.
That's right. And you can see that both of those are happening at the same time.
You
can especially see it in other people. You can watch how deeply people believe their conditioning. Deeply, deeply believe its reality. And you can see that there's nothing real about it. And then you can look at yourself and go, wow, I bet the same thing applies here.
Yeah.
And then we just have a good chuckle. And on a moment by moment, nitty gritty kind of thing, when I said it's your practice, so there's the karma that came in attached to this human being we call Kate, right? Working through that karma, awakening in the way that we're talking about, is freedom. That's what you're experiencing, right? The more you wake up, the freer you get, the happier you get. That karma is falling away. Is there more karma there? Mm-hmm. Absolutely. You see that. You recognize it for what it is. It falls away. You're freer. You're happier. Away we go.
And we get to come up against those same experiences, those same stories, that same gratitude, that same everything over and over again.
That's right.
In order to see that. In order to be like, see that process happening.
That's exactly right. Yeah. And notice that every time you come back to the present, back to yourself, back to the moment, you come back to the same happiness, the same gratitude, the same joy. It's the very same one. We go off into all of these supposedly other kinds of situations. As you say, the same conversation with a new person in a new place, right? But it's the same conversation, right? And you see that, you recognize it, you come back to the same joy.
Yeah.
It's a good deal, isn't it?
Yeah, that is good.
It's very exciting. It's very exciting. And the thing that I always encourage people to do, don't try to make a case for this with anybody who isn't ready for that kind of excitement, because you'll sound like you're nuts.
Okay. Good advice.
All right. Thank you, Kate.
Okay, thank you. Thanks, Jerry. Thanks,
Michael.
Go
happy.
Bye-bye. Go happy.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us, Kate. And that was a fascinating conversation, Sherry. And in the interest of time, I'm going to keep us moving along here.
All right. Thank you for that.
Sure. Next caller. You are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Deetra from Toronto.
Hi, Deetra.
Well, hello, Deetra. What's going on?
Well, I've heard my Zen counselor say that the voices know nothing about me, but they seem to know a lot about me, like every ounce of my life, every new, like, have my kids now, if they know the voices know a lot. So I'm not sure, I've been struggling trying to understand this concept that the voices know nothing about me.
How about if we try it this way? The voices know nothing about what you really are.
Oh.
How old are your kids, Deitra?
The 4 and 2, almost.
Okay. Are you seeing the 4-year-old change from he, she?
He's the 4-year-old, yes.
He. Okay, can you see him starting to move from the innocence of just being a child into more of a sense of the world outside of him?
Yes.
More focused on,
yes.
Yeah? So
the experience
of fear. Yep,
and
you can see conditioning,
things,
ego. Yep, ego is starting to, you know, put its claws into him. And, you know, you can't worry about it. There's nothing you can do to prevent it.
Nope.
It's just how it is. But you can see it, right? Mm-hmm. Now, we fast forward, and he's 35 years old, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he's got voices in his head, and he's, you know, ego, you know, he's right where the rest of us are as by the time we hit that level of adulthood. If you try, what's his name?
Ronan.
If you said, Ronan, those voices in your head don't know anything about you. He would think, oh, mom, how deluded you are, right? But you were there when he was 6 months old, a year old.
Mm-hmm.
You were there when he for his first moment, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so you know that authenticity, that innocence, that,
that sweetness.
And you watched what happened to him as he as he grew up. So that's what's being pointed at.
Oh, so it's not that it doesn't know anything about me. Sorry, go ahead.
Well, and you can now, through awareness practice, you can know that level of authenticity that those who were around you when you first arrived, if they had been paying attention or capable of it or whatever, that they were able to see, that they were able to recognize.
Yeah.
You can know that for yourself.
Yeah.
And you can know very clearly the difference between what happened to you as you were being socialized, as you were growing up, in quotes, and you can know that inherent purity and innocence and goodness directly, as well as be able to see everything that happened to you.
Yeah. And all the habits that I've adopted and the defenses I've adopted because
everything
of
you needed to do to survive.
Oh,
just like
I'm
you're
cloaked.
Seeing it with Ronan. Just like you're seeing it. I mean, he's developing fear already, right? Well, he's going to have to survive that. He has to survive just moment by situation after situation, and he's going to put it together in his little head, and he's going to figure it out as best he can because he's going to survive.
Yeah.
Right? And then, of course, by the time we've done that, that same system that we look to help us survive basically turns on us, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then wants us to feel bad because of how we are, because of the choices that we needed to make in order to survive.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And so,
which is why. Go ahead.
No, I was just thinking that you, when I think that they don't mean, they don't know. They know my surviving mechanisms.
That's right. That's right. And they know themselves, right? Ego knows itself, and that's what it's projecting onto you. And that's what it's been doing all along, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it knows everything that it did in order it to increasingly take you over to convince you that it's you and you're it, that all of those negative thoughts are thoughts that you're thinking, that that's how you are, that's who you are, that's the real you. No, it's not.
Oh.
No.
Yeah. Oh, All right, that really clarifies that for me, Sherry.
Good. I am so glad. Because that's where the compassion comes from, right? That's why, you know, judging, letting those voices judge us, no. Because surviving is what we needed to do. Okay, we did it.
Yeah.
We think, you know, if we had known then, you know, look back at the 12 or 13, 16, 18, 22-year-old you, you know, if you if you had this information then, would you have made some different decisions? You betcha.
Absolutely.
But you didn't.
Yeah.
Right?
No.
And it took all of what we went through to get us to the point where we want to say, okay, I think I'd like to end this suffering.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you very much.
Well,
thank you so much.
Stay in touch, huh?
I will. Right. Thank you so much. Good night.
Thank you. Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Deetra. And Sherry, we are just about at the top of the hour here, and I feel transformed.
Well, me too. I'm so glad we had this time together.
Yes, it's been quite amazing for me, and I'm really grateful that you're here and all of Sangha is here.
You're here, and
thank you.
We're all here. We're all here together. Yeah, as we were talking about earlier, God knows we wouldn't want to do this on our own.
So, yes.
It's a very good deal.
It's a great
all
deal.
Right. Well, thank you, Michael. And again, I apologize for my tardiness. So thank you for waiting for me and holding down the fort until I made it.
Our pleasure.
All right.
Anytime.
All right.
Thank you, Sherry.
Thank you. Good night.
Good night.